You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's Thursday, April 9th, 2026, and welcome to episode 178 of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. I'm your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you very much for tuning in to the show this morning. On this week's episode, I'm going to be talking about the game Pokemon Pocopia. But we're going to start the show off with a look at the headlines from this past week. Today's story is from Chris Scullion at VGC. And do you remember when Xbox announced State of Decay 3 back in 2020 with that really cool-looking trailer? Well, not only did that trailer not represent the final product, but the game, at that point in time, was nothing more than a few notes in a Word document. Studio head Philip Holt was on the Sunny Games podcast and was asked about the zombie deer that appeared in the trailer and had this to say: "There is no zombie deer. That trailer in 2020, there really wasn't a game or a game team. When we were working on that trailer, it was so early, you know, and I think there wasn't even a team. I mean, there was like four or five people." He went on to say, "The trailer was done by Blur. It was all pre-rendered. It represented, I think, a concept. Our thoughts at the time of what might be cool to explore in State of Decay 3. And as we've had a chance to build the team and get going on the game, some of those elements are going to persist in the game that we deliver. And some of those things were just like, yeah, we're not doing zombie animals," end quote. So Undead Labs announced that they've got alpha playtests happening in May, I believe, for the game. And I think there's a pretty good chance that we'll see it at the June Xbox Game Showcase. I think with alpha tests going on very soon, I think the timing seems about right. And I wouldn't doubt if we got a release window, maybe 2027. But in the future, how about we all agree that we really don't need to do announcements for games before they're even in development? That's how you end up with situations like Perfect Dark and Everwild. So I've mentioned before on the show that I'm not really a Pokemon kind of guy. I've got nothing against it. It's just not a series that I've really spent much time with. I like Pokemon Snap well enough, but that's kind of the extent of my experience. Nevertheless, when a new game gets announced, I always think, maybe this is the Pokemon game that I get into. But it never is. Until now. Because not only have I been playing Pokemon Pocopia the last couple of weeks, but I am ridiculously addicted to it. So having seen some of the trailers for the game, my expectations going in were Pokemon by way of Animal Crossing and Minecraft. And those comparisons are right on the money, 100%. And being a big Animal Crossing fan, this absolutely is what pulled me in. I was all on board. But the twist that I was not expecting, and the reason that this thing has really gotten its hooks in me, I think, is that it's actually Pokemon by way of Animal Crossing, Minecraft, and Viva Pinata. All right, just put this game directly into my veins. The setup is that you play as Ditto, a little purple blob Pokemon guy who can mimic anything it wants. And you're in this sort of post-apocalyptic Pokemon universe. All of the humans are gone. You don't know where they've went. All the Pokemon centers and other buildings are in ruins. The Pokemon themselves have all kind of disappeared. So you run into this one big Pokemon dude. I don't even know how to describe him. I don't know what he is. But he basically takes on the professor role and guides you through the game and the story. And your sort of overarching goal is to rebuild this land in order to attract the Pokemon to come back, and hopefully, eventually, the humans as well. So, like Viva Pinata, you need to lure the Pokemon back by creating specific conditions in the environment to attract specific Pokemon. So, for example, you need to have 4 squares of tall grass next to water in order to attract a Squirtle, or a campfire next to a straw table and a bed to attract Charmeleon, or 4 wildflowers surrounding a gravestone to get Cubone. And by the way, can I just say for a second that as a person who does not know a lot about Pokemon, wow, how effed up is Cubone? I read his little bio in the Pokedex after I got him and found out that he wears around the skull of his dead mother. Are you serious? Anyway, some of these Pokemon are messed up. So you'll discover what these conditions are as you go through the game, and as you find certain Pokemon, you'll learn new skills from them to help you to fix up the world in different ways. For instance, Squirtle will teach you to shoot water, which you can use to water your plants, your vegetables, or to rehydrate dry grass or dying trees. One of them teaches you how to break rocks, that kind of thing. And there's a ton of Pokemon to find. I honestly don't know if I went more than, 30 minutes at a time in between discovering something new. The Minecraft comparison comes from how the game looks and the way that the building feels. It's not quite as, everything is a block as Minecraft is, but most of the terrain and the buildings around are made of square cubes, and the building and the breaking of them looks and feels very familiar. Even the way that the water flows when you break a block that's holding it back, it gives big Minecraft vibes. And I will legit spend hours and hours building. If Christina is watching me play, which she's kind of gotten into this a little bit, I'll do the main quests and stuff and try to get all the Pokemon. But then after she goes to bed, I do the real boring crap and I just sit there and obsess over little details and build my little perfect Pokemon world. And overall, the game just gives off major Animal Crossing vibes. Building up your little town and crafting all sorts of, furniture to decorate the houses and stuff to put around the world. Befriending the Pokemon who live there, and you can give them little homes. The real day-night cycle. And the music is very, very reminiscent of Animal Crossing. It's just got that chill and happy vibe going for it that just makes it makes the whole thing just relaxing. I don't know if they've got any seasonal type events planned for the game, the way that you would have to play Animal Crossing on certain days to accomplish certain things or get certain items, but I do think that would be a really nice touch. About the only negative I've got is that given the way that I play games like this, I wonder if there'll be enough to keep me playing through all of the different zones and to the end credits. Basically, I have this primordial need to just fix up and mold every inch of the play area to be exactly the way I wanted it. And if it turns out not quite right, I'll scrap the whole thing and start from the beginning. It's a sickness. And after about I don't know, 25 to 30, I'm going to say, hours with the game. I've really only been to two zones, and neither of them is anywhere near what I would call finished. So that's kind of a specific me problem, you know, not really the game. You know, you might just kind of complete your objectives and move on. Not me. I think there's a lot of potential for Procopia to have a long life. They can keep adding, you know, more Pokemon forever, items, even areas if they want to. This could really be the next big thing for the Switch 2 in the way that Animal Crossing New Horizons was for the original Switch. It's relaxing, it's addicting, it's charming as heck, and it's the first Pokemon game that I've really fallen in love with. If you've got a Switch 2 or you've been thinking about getting a Switch 2, this is the best reason to have one. You wouldn't be alone if you've been thinking lately that we are living in a world full of real comic book style villains. Evil billionaires who buy their way into power and influence and spout off hateful rhetoric and threaten to destroy anyone who dares to defy them. Elon Musk, Donald Trump, Jeff Bezos, take your pick. Hell, just watch the new season of Daredevil and you will realize that Trump basically is Kingpin, complete with his own mob of secret police who disregard the law and kidnap people right off the streets. And if we're going to have supervillains, apparently we also need to have superheroes. Enter Nomark, Minneapolis's own masked vigilante. Yes, this is real. Nomark is a self-proclaimed superhero who helps the citizens of Minneapolis and posts videos of his adventures on TikTok and Instagram because, of course he does. And he's got about 500,000 followers. And the Minneapolis Star Tribune recently followed Nomark around as he patrolled the streets of the city. He's not quite Batman. You know, instead of body armor and batarangs, he wears a black skull mask and a hoodie. And instead of the Riddler and Mr. Freeze, he goes up against bike thieves, graffiti artists, and wasted dudes who are leaving the bar and want to get into fights. I guess the closest he's come to having a true nemesis is when he took down someone known as, and I am not making this up, the Minnesota Pisser. Yeah, someone who had been caught on camera around the University of Minnesota urinating on buildings and landmarks. It's not exactly the Court of Owls, but it's a start. Now, law enforcement frowns on masked vigilantes, and there's a more than decent chance that this is some college kid doing this for kicks, and he's gonna end up getting his butt whooped by messing with some seriously bad people. But you know what, if we're gonna have real villains trying to destroy this city, we'll take all the help we can get. God, what a weird timeline we live in. Thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Until next time, I am your host, John Wall. Have a great rest of your week, and don't forget to save.